This episode of the Deep Cave Podcast is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/deepcavepodcast. More than 150,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin, and that stupid dress on Tumblr is white and gold. I don't care what you say.
I'm Chad.
Hashtag the dress if you want to know what the hell Justin's talking about.
Yeah. So I don't even know what it's about, but it's white and gold. Just shut up and leave me alone.
Or blue and black.
No.
Actually, yeah. It is blue and black.
It is legitimately blue
and
black.
Not in the picture I saw.
It's the lighting.
Well, it's just another example.
Well, they need to fire their lighting guy.
Well, it's just another example of how your brain interprets data based on what it, you know, thinks is going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw it as white and gold one evening when there was no light other than the computer screen. Then the next morning when there's the yellow light coming through the window, it's suddenly blue and black. Same picture, same computer screen, different colors. I had to shake my head a few times.
Maybe if I'd looked at it when I was drunk last night, it might have been a different color.
Might have been.
Anyway. DJ Podcast. Brought to you by Audible, BuzzTime, and Shirtosaurus.
Woo!
So, we appreciate them and their support. We really think you should sign up for a free audiobook so we can get some money. We'll tell you about that in a little bit.
Yep.
But first, comics.
Yeah. But just before we get going with comic book news, there is another place where you can get comic book news besides this particular segment.
Well,
Darren!
Shut your mouth wide open. Are you talking about the Deep Cave Comic Cast?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. You guys know Greg.
Yeah.
Audience knows Greg. Greg's been doing
He's good people.
Been doing a few Skype casts with us. Well, now he's launching his own comic book heavy podcast. First episode's already up. All you have to do is, just go to deepcavepodcast.com and, you know, use the podcast tag or subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. And he's going to be doing it bi-weekly. We had Tom stepped down from doing the Deep Man Cave, and Greg has...
No, we didn't have Tom step down.
Well, we didn't make him. It happened.
He voluntarily chose due to extenuating circumstances.
Okay.
We did not fire Tom.
No,
let's make this clear.
I worded it wrong.
Yes.
That's on me.
Yes, you did.
You would think as a communicator, I'd be better at talking.
You'd be better at communicating?
He talks real pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Tom stepped down from doing the Deep Man Cave. Greg heroically lumbered up, and he and Jason Chestnut are going to be bringing you the Deep Cave.
Greg's not big enough to lumber. I mean, you really have to have some mass to lumber. I lumber.
I lightly lumber.
All right. Anyway, Deep Cave Comic Cast is now part of the Deep Cave Podcast family.
I guess lumbering would be a fast plod.
Yeah.
Or a plod would be a slow lumber.
Yeah. That works.
Okay. Comics. Neither of which is anything that Greg does.
All right. So, yeah, this is the first time we've actually sat down and talked about this, but Superman's got a new power.
Yeah.
I know it's been in the news for a while. The issue's already out, but we haven't actually discussed it.
He's a Super Saiyan now.
Yeah.
Well, kind of a reverse Super Saiyan. Because
he loses the power as he powers up.
It's called the Super Flare. And Batman named it because
it makes him fabulous.
I'm surprised he didn't call it the Bat Flare.
Superman 38. Batman rescued Superman after he used it because it drains you of all your energy. It basically makes you human for 24 hours.
Yeah.
It
doesn't drain me of anything.
So the
I'm not Superman.
The thing that Superman needs to do now,
wink,
if he and Wonder Woman break up, and he needs to get it on with a human, he just needs to like have her meet him at this secluded location. Well, actually, meet him where the crater is at the secluded location because he uses the flare, and then he's normal for 24 hours. So his newest power is kind of a liability? Basically, just an extension of his heat vision, according to Batman.
Well, yeah. I guess if you think about it, if you're really kind of blowing your wad, so to speak.
Yeah. You're going to be really tired afterwards.
You probably ought to be vulnerable for a bit.
Yeah.
Let's face it, if Superman could do this anytime he wanted, as often as he wanted, then we'd have a whole new host of, he's just too powerful. No wonder we don't have any good Superman stories. He's too powerful.
Meanwhile, Batman's getting punched in the face by Doomsday, and it's okay, I'm rich.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that.
Bat Deus Ex Machina, yeah.
Go Gadget Deus Ex Machina.
Anyway, yeah.
Now I'm picturing Don Adams saying that. That's great.
Anyway, now, Super Flare, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, so he's got a new power. It's like his first new power in, what,
50 years? 60 years? They're pretending that Blue Superman never happened. Which is probably for the best.
Yeah.
New 52.
Yeah. But I mean, DC's acting like it's a first new power in publication history for like 50 years. Like I said, forgetting about.
I actually don't know what you're talking about.
You don't remember Superman Blue?
He basically became electric Superman.
He had like magnetism / electricity powers, and he had to wear a containment suit. And then at one point, Blue divided, and then there was Superman Blue, which was the altruistic one, and Superman Red, which was the dick. And then eventually they combined into
Superman Purple.
Post-mullet Superman, because his hair went back to normal after that.
Hmm.
Let's just say the 90s were weird.
All I really remember about that is there was one issue shortly after he acquired the new powers, and he went in to shave, like he always did. Heat vision on the mirror.
Yeah.
It blew him across the room.
Yeah. Now
I found that hysterical.
Well, it was an interesting wrinkle, because when he wasn't using his powers, he was practically mortal.
Yeah.
But whenever he would flame on, so to speak, then, you know, lightning rod. But it was dumb. It was dumb.
Emphasis
and
on the rod.
You didn't miss anything.
Okay.
So,
yeah. So, yeah, new power. Moving on.
Jimmy Olsen knows who Superman is now.
So he does.
That was also revealed at the end of the new power episode. So
issue.
Whatever. Number 38. John Romita Jr. Moving on.
Yeah.
Well, somebody has to know.
Yeah.
May as well be Jimmy. He's super trustworthy.
He's Superman's best pal.
He's his
married
best pal.
An ape.
Sorry, Jimmy, I can't get you out of this one. I now officially designate you asshole and ape. Anyway, back to comics.
Oh, is that how orangutans were born? They're basically ginger apes, right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't want to think too much about it.
Oh. Marvel has a new Avengers team.
Yeah.
It's all female.
Yeah.
All estrogen all the time.
The A-Force.
The A-Force, yes.
I hear that Hawkeye wanted to join. Be the, you know, the male member
the token
of...
Guy, the Hawk token guy.
The token guy.
Hawk
but
guy.
Then he realized that either he would die or he would constantly be getting kidnapped or...
Yeah.
or other terrible things would happen to him, so he bowed out.
Well,
he always does.
The idea has worked with the X-Men. There is like a book called X-Men that is just an all-female team.
Mm-hmm.
And that has worked for them. So...
Ironic.
I
shouldn't be X women.
You would think, but they went in the direction they chose. So you would think that it would work for the Avengers. I mean, you've got Captain Marvel, you got She-Hulk,
Dazzler.
Medusa. Why the hell not? You know, Medusa,
a new superhero,
Singularity. Okay,
is she a computer?
I think I saw Spider-Gwen on that cover too, somewhere,
possibly.
So, I mean, they released like a big poster.
You see Spider-Gwen everywhere.
That's because it's a really good idea.
He painted it on his glasses.
I might have. I've done things I've forgotten.
And that you're ashamed of.
Oh, no, I'm not ashamed of most of them.
Oh, I'm trying to... When does A-Force release? Ah, just sometime this year.
So there you go. Deal with it.
Yeah, deal with it.
It'll probably be after Secret Wars.
Probably, yes.
After Avengers 4.
Avengers 4, Joss Whedon, come back.
Oh, sad.
Sad. Sad bunny.
Okay.
Anyway, so who here likes IDW Publishing?
Yeah, sure. I do. Yeah. I like them.
Who here likes Hasbro?
Yeah, I like them. Mm.
Who likes the fact that IDW produces Hasbro comic books?
I think...
Like My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, and
those,
all that stuff.
Those are pretty good. We had Jeremy Whitley on not too long ago, and he's an artist for and writer and for the Friends Forever spinoff of the MLP comics, and I like them.
Well, it's been announced that the two companies will have extended their business relationship. I guess they had a limited time contract, and they've extended it, so you now get more...
Now they're besties.
Now they're besties, yeah. You get more... My Little Pony, G.I. Joe Transformers, Gem and the Hologram comics, Dungeons and Dragons are coming, you know, so this is good news. This is good news.
That is my problem news. With Dungeons and Dragons comics, they never actually work the same way as a Dungeons and Dragons game.
Well, yeah.
That would be a great comic. Just like a 6 month thing. You know, a 6 issue thing where, okay, this particular adventure is going to sound a whole lot like somebody's round the table pencil paper
nice
game.
That would be great.
You just have, you know, a whole bunch of your warriors like, I attack. Whether they attack, you know, and then
whether
like,
they attack or not. Yeah.
I attack. Really?
Dice
no roll. No, I really don't.
Hey, instead of in the credits, written by so and so, it could be Dungeon Master so and so.
I liked it.
Absolutely.
I like the idea.
Oh, so Bill and Ted.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, bogus.
Yes.
Yeah. But overall, excellent. They're coming back.
Nice.
In comic book form.
It's party time.
Through Boom Studios.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
They were doing the Disney comics before Disney bought Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, you know, Marvel's doing the Disney comics.
Because screw you.
Yeah, the Bill and Ted number one is coming out. I don't have a date.
That's pretty much all you need to know.
Yeah.
They couldn't get George Carlin involved.
No.
No, sadly.
The paper is as flat as Keanu Reeves' personality.
Whoa.
Actually, I'm pretty okay with Keanu Reeves as a person.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
As an actor, I'm not.
That's what
overly
I meant. His
thrilled.
On-screen
okay.
personality.
Yeah. Cool Breeze Over the Mountain is—he's an okay guy. That's what his name translates into.
Okay.
Cool Breeze Over the Mountain.
Nice. All right,
Reeves.
I learned something new.
Yeah.
Da 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 da. The more you know.
Yeah. Get Katy Perry riding the star like she did in the Super Bowl halftime show.
I'll be in my bunk.
Maybe we'll get the left shark involved while
the
we're at it.
The left shark.
Anyway. Oh.
So, Chad.
Yes, sir.
You like beer, right?
I do.
Are you a fan of Hellboy?
Yeah. I like the movies.
Well, that's a start.
Because the movies were silly fun.
Yeah. They were silly fun. Yeah.
Well, you can now get Hellboy beer.
Hmm.
The Right Hand of Doom beer.
Nice.
Sounds rocky.
It's a limited beer available online beginning February 22nd of this year, so you know, now. It's being released in conjunction with Dark Horse Comics, the publisher of Hellboy.
The Right Hand of Doom, huh?
The Right Hand
yeah,
of Doom.
Yeah, big rocky hand he has, yeah.
Huh. And they didn't want to attach this with Latveria?
Apparently
oh,
not.
Yeah.
Maybe
Fantastic
more like
Four.
The menacing scowl of Doom. Although with the new movie, it's more like the angry blog post of Doom.
Well, it'd still be the right hand. I mean, that's what controls the mouse.
Yeah. Unless he's left-handed.
Even left-handed
he's probably
people
use
the
He's
right
probably
hand
blogging
the
with Google Glass. You know, he's just dictating it and then posting it. The left eye of doom.
You know, it's easy to dictate something when you're a dick.
The pretentious ass face of doom. Can you tell we're excited for Fantastic Four?
Well, we will be talking a little bit about it in the movie section. So.
All right.
Very little.
Well,
and we're done.
At least something. On me. Yeah. At least on my end. Oni Press has announced that Invader Zim... is coming to comic books.
Yeah, I saw that.
I love Invader Zim. I am I was saddened that it only lasted like a season.
I think it was before its time.
It really was. A lot of shows like that, you know, they get a cult following afterwards because then people realize, oh, this was good.
I think Freakazoid was another one that was kind of right there on the cusp. The internet hadn't been around long enough for
Freakazoid.
But that's kind of, you know, I put them in the same boat because they're both shows that I think were a little early. Like the Dreamcast. A little before its time.
Hey, the Dreamcast is still growing strong.
It is. 15 years later, they're still making games for it. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, see?
Anyway, we digress.
Can you say
again.
That?
Again.
Again, yes. Starting in July of this year, Invader Zim is coming to comic books by Oni Press. Appears to just be a continuation of the series. So.
All right.
That's all good. And finally, what I've got. Speaking of Dr. Doom.
Doom.
What?
It's not Dr. Doom.
Yeah, it's Dr.
Yeah, Victor Von Doom. Yeah.
Marvel, Dr. Doom.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I've only had one cup of coffee.
Count Von Doom.
Count Von Doom, if you wish. Yes, yes. Who was one person that unlikely defeated him?
Squirrel Girl.
Do you have a side Squirrel Girl?
No, no, Squirrel Girl.
Okay.
Yeah. And who was one person who unlikely defeated Galactus?
Also Squirrel Girl.
Yeah. I think she also defeated Wolverine at some point.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty much beaten everybody.
Yeah. So is it fair to say that she is unbeatable?
She's like the Batman of the Marvel Universe. Squirrel Ex Machina.
Yeah. Well, 3 months ago, Squirrel Girl number one hit shelves.
Mm-hmm. With the force of a squirrel.
Yeah. I picked it up, thought, what the heck? I'll see what this is like. Squirrel Girl's one of those odd characters you never really hear much about, but apparently she's, you know, can do weird and amazing shit.
Proportional strength and speed of a squirrel.
Yes.
Would be fast.
Yeah, she is pretty fast.
Yes. This is quite possibly my newest favorite comic book.
After having read the first couple of issues, I'm not there as far as it's my favorite, but it's pretty darn good.
I mean, not favorite of all time, but in terms of new comic books coming, you know, this is top of my list of things I'm going to continue buying.
Nice.
Yeah.
Justin's about to get rid of all of his Batman stuff. Thousands of dollars worth of Batman stuff.
We're going to come back to the cave next month, and it's going to be nothing but squirrel memorabilia.
Nothing but Squirrel Girl stuff everywhere. There'll be like a tail just sticking out of a wall. Yeah. Be like, don't put it's not coat rack. It's my Squirrel Girl tail.
You know, I will say one thing, though, is I'm not.
Justin starts joining the furry community.
What do you mean starts?
Yeah.
As a squirrel instead of as the puppy.
Nice. See, I like the comic. I prefer her, the old style of drawing her, you know?
See, I like this.
It's cartoonish. I get that.
The style is very cartoonish, but it also does not take itself seriously at any level.
Right.
In fact, at the very bottom of each page, there are little liner notes, which are hysterical.
Get a magnifying glass.
Yeah, they're kind of tiny.
And a bright light.
And a bright light. Yeah.
They make them darker in the next issue.
That is good.
Just to call it a printing error. But this book does not take it seriously at all. At one point, and in order to help fight villains, she has Deadpool's Guide to Villains. They're trading cards.
90% of which are merely Deadpool looking in a mirror and giving himself thumbs up.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic idea. It really is.
It really is. And I'm so glad that they've done this. And even though Marvel is on the cusp of, you know, basically rebooting their entire company, and this will probably go by the wayside, it will be a fun ride while it lasts.
Well, and I guess this is one good thing about Marvel announcing the big plans to reboot, is that now creators can kind of take risks that they would not normally be allowed to, because what's the worst that can happen? We cancel it this summer, you know?
Yeah.
So
we pretend it doesn't happen like everything else.
Yeah.
But if you get a chance, go pick up Squirrel Girl number one. I think the first two issues are out. It is well worth your time and money. I give it an A. I mean, this is just a phenomenal comic book. And apparently when she tucks her tail into her pants, she just suddenly has a bodacious booty. That's great.
Yeah, it's just...
Makes sense to me.
I can't add anything to that. So.
No. No, I mean, who doesn't like the booty? Fine squirrel booty.
I am one who enjoys the booty. So.
Darren's a pirate.
Oh, that's
Darren
all I got.
Likes big chests and fine booty.
And I cannot lie.
Yep.
All right.
Well, that's all I got for comics. Darren, what do you got?
When I say the name Rowan Hansen, what does that mean to you?
Somebody mispronounced Atkinson?
Yes. No. It's an 11-year-old girl who wrote a letter to DC Comics.
Oh, yes.
She was asking them to use more, create more female superheroes. The problem is they have like a really large stable. They just never use them or promote
them.
Well,
they don't sell.
Yeah, well, they don't sell because DC doesn't promote them
well.
Yeah, it's an Ouroboros, if you will.
I consider it the same reason that we don't have female video game characters.
Wait.
just
we do have female video
hear him
game
out.
Characters. Okay.
But how many comparatively? I mean, you have a lot of more male characters.
Right.
And they're written overall better. Because the people who are in charge of saying yes or no to a project think that their entire demographic is made up of
right.
penises?
One small, narrow group.
Despite the fact that about 50% of gamers are female now.
And despite the fact that
that's hot.
Female comic, you know, people, more women are buying comics.
Yeah.
More and more and more.
Yes.
And you ignore that at your own peril, which seems to be the case. And Rowan basically called them on it.
Yeah. So she wrote them a letter asking them to do something. And the publisher responded with a tweet. You know, we agree and we're working hard to create more superhero fun for girls. But then on NBC's Today, they revealed that they have turned Rowan into a superhero. I don't know if this is going to be just, you know, here you go, kid. Here's a drawing. Leave us alone. Or if they plan on actually doing anything with it. But it is worth noting, as we have covered in the past, that DC was the first to announce a female-led superhero movie with Wonder Woman. Then Marvel came back with, oh, yeah, well, Captain Marvel, bitches.
And dollars to donuts, Captain Marvel will be...
Oh, it will probably... Well,
will
we
be better
know.
Written and acted
We
than...
need to wait until the movies come out. We
I
can't
know.
Just prejudge them.
I know. I'm just...
Actually, we can. That's what we do here.
Given DC's track record
True.
With female leads and Marvel's track record...
Yeah, but unfortunately, Marvel doesn't have a track record with female leads because Black Widow has always just been a supporting character.
No, I mean in like sheer comic, like comic books overall...
Fair.
Because...
Duly noted.
You've got Miss Marvel, you've got Captain Marvel,
mm-hmm.
both very well written, you know, positive role models. DC really only has Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I mean, they've got others, they just, the only one they promote is Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you know? And they can't really do anything with her other than comic book form, or occasionally animated feature.
Yeah, but you have to
or
make
TV
sure...
TV in the 70s.
But as far as animated feature, you got to get the kids out of the room because usually Wonder Woman is a pretty dark and bloody and badass kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So
as is right and proper.
As is right and proper, yeah.
So.
Amazon.
But they have all these wonderful characters, female characters, that they just don't know what to do with.
Right.
They're,
oh, I agree.
They're like, you know, teenage usses around girls.
Well, and that kind of carries over into their that carries over into their TV properties, too, where it seems that like every... female love interest, whether it's Arrow or Gotham, with the exception of Leslie Tompkins, is an asshole. A poorly written, overly flawed, overly...
Harpy.
Shrewish asshole.
I wonder if that's in response to the way they one-dimension their male characters as overbearing, silent...
Broody.
You know, broody... Or if you go to like the sitcom end of things, dumb, dull, incompetent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you, what's the opposite of these things is you have to have a loud.
Yeah. Now I will.
Some may say strong. I disagree with the word strong.
Yeah.
But outspoken.
I will say that DC's TV properties are fantastic for the most part. Gotham, I'm still on the fence with. And Flash gets it right because Iris West is, she's kind of a jerk, but she's a believable jerk. I guess, for lack of a better term. But all that to say, yeah, you're right. The DC does have a long way to go when it comes to female character development. One new development for one of their female characters, Catwoman, in DC's most recent run, issue 39, is revealed to, well, they say it's more like confirmed, to be bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the world collectively shrugged its shoulders and moved on with its life.
Good.
Turns out things like this are news precisely for not being news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I saw it. I came across the headline. A few people will send it to me to make sure I saw it, I guess. And I'm like, all right. And then I went back to whatever I was doing because it's not that big of a deal.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's the general response people should have to this sort of thing. Not that it should be ignored, but it's like, okay.
And I think I agree with you from our perspective.
Yes.
We as three white middle-class guys, this is a non-issue for us.
Yeah.
It's something that's just, okay, so that's a thing. But I would suggest that for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community,
it's big for them, yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
Because now suddenly there's another character, there's a character that...
A very major character.
That they can identify in a way. I mean, because we had, what was it, Alan Scott?
Alan Scott, yeah.
Who wasn't, I
he was Green Lantern, but it was like a parallel Earth.
Yeah, Earth 2.
There were a few other qualifiers. Yeah.
And Midnighter, an openly gay act, superhero. It's nice that we're not getting now a side character or a parallel world character, but a main character, just to broaden the diversity a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, and
I get that.
Our reaction should not be one of extreme happiness, elatedness, or disappointment, or anger. Otherwise, our reaction, I think, is perfectly appropriate.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. We have just that much more depth to a major character.
Exactly.
Whereas for this other community, now it's now I can see a little bit more. I can see a little bit more of myself in this character.
Yes.
Well, just don't read the comments online and you'll be fine.
Well, that's kind of good advice for anything having to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
the more rabid the fan base, the less you should read the comics or comments.
Yes.
Read the comics.
Yeah.
Comics are good. Comments are bad.
That's all I got.
All right. Chad, you got anything?
No, I was just piggybacking on him. He's got
I'm very tired.
He's got very broad shoulders. They are super comfy.
Giddy up, Darren, indeed.
Yeehaw.
Well, that's it for comics, I guess.
All right.
I get to take a nap now. My job's done.
We'll take a quick break.
I'll see you in the movie second.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Hillary Craven. She's founder and game designer of Solar Crusaders, a new game coming to your PC. So we'll talk with her and a few other things game-related back in a minute.
Oh, hey, Bob.
Hey, Dave. Buzz time at the bar?
Ooh, buzz time at the bar.
Get out of the house. See why thousands play Buzz Time Poker each week at their favorite bar. To find a location near you, go to buzztime.com.
The Geek Cave Podcast, brought to you by Buzz Time. Great minds drink alike.
This is Christopher Jones, artist of Young Justice. You're listening to the Geek Cave Podcast.
Welcome back to the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
And I'm Chad.
Justin was serious.
That. Movies, yes, movies.
Not yet.
Oh.
Not yet. Back to sleep. Okay. So, who here wants a new Rock Band game?
Actually, I kind of enjoyed them.
I would be okay with it.
I just pick up my actual guitar, plug in my actual amp, and play.
All right, well, thanks, hipster Justin. But
should I do that now? Because my amp's right here.
That's fine.
The microphone's will pick it up. It's big.
It's fine. We don't need...
It's huge.
We don't need a demonstration of how awesome...
I got
awesome.
Pedals I can push, and it makes the guitar sound cool.
A new Rock Band game is in development, according to a lot of sources. Harmonix issued a survey.
And collectively, the internet went, meh.
Harmonix released a survey, you know, what would you like to see a new Rock Band on? And I answered... Xbox One, PS4, and Wii U. So naturally, they saw the Wii U part, immediately threw that away, and they're working on it for PS4 and Xbox One. Apparently, Activision...
They're going to work specifically with just the Kinect and the camera and you air guitar. by picking up any stick you want. Yes. Hockey sticks, it turns out, will get a bonus. And you just play that in front of the camera.
I would, you know what? Don't give them any ideas, because now I would have to go buy a Kinect.
No, see, by me saying that, now they cannot use it.
Trademark Chad Savage. So, copyright.
If you use a broomstick, you get a classic mode.
Nice.
But apparently Activision is also planning on doing a Guitar Hero revival. So I expect both of those to be announced right around E3, which is in June. So start saving up money for those plastic instruments now, because there's probably no guarantee that the ones you have will be backwards. Mm. Forwards compatible, I guess.
Yeah.
So maybe the Wii one, because you can just plug the Wiimote in. And
that's true.
But they're not making one for the Wii.
That's right. They're not making one for the Wii U because they hate my money. It's okay. I'll just buy it on one of the other systems. Mm.
Are you sure you don't want to play guitar? I mean, I got my acoustic right here.
I'm fairly certain.
I don't need to plug anything in.
Speaking of Wii U.
It's better than plastic. It's wood.
It's better than bad. It's good.
A log.
You know, every once in a while we would tweet out really short reviews of movies and comics and games. Well, specifically on games, we're going to start doing really short video reviews. Just about a minute long enough for you to know, hey, is this something I should actually spend my money on? First one is up, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker. I'm not going to spoil it for you because I want you to go to dtpodcast.com and watch it so you can find out whether or not you should buy it. We like the bat... Click away, mofos.
Oh, sure, you'll let him play his instrument, but not me.
His is a computer mouse. It is not going to be nearly as distracting as you playing a guitar while I try to talk.
I don't know. I could add nice background music, and all he's doing is...
You know what? Fine. Grab your acoustic. Zod damn it. Grab your acoustic. Let's freaking do this. Everybody, it's music time. Justin's getting tuned up here. Lovely. Yeah, anyway, so Batman Arkham Knight is...
Which that music way totally went with.
Yeah, it's going to be coming out this summer in June, which I think would make for a great anniversary present.
That's seriously distracting.
I'm just adding background music.
Yeah, the background music that doesn't go at all with what we're talking about.
And
so we're talking about Batman, the hipster years. He totally talks to people.
You're listening to NPR. Up next, the Caped Crusader.
You need to calm down.
Yeah, you are way too hyper for NPR standards.
So,
anyway, Arkham Knight is going to be rated M for Mature.
Which probably is not going to affect their sales in the least.
No, I mean...
It's going to affect some of their immediate sales when teens are somehow blocked from buying it somewhere, I'm sure... Actually pays attention to
there
this.
There are some retail stores that will card you. Target will card you. They carded me, which I thought was odd considering I'm in my 30s. But they did card me.
But they don't know that.
Well, I don't look like I'm a teen.
Oh, Darren.
No, I seriously don't.
You look the youngest of all three of us.
Really?
Seriously.
That's good living there.
It's lack of facial hair.
Lack of facial hair. I just shaved before we did this. But
what, last week?
But for the first time ever, it's going to be rated M for Mature, which means that, yeah, like you said, initially some of the sales may be affected, but let's be honest, if Grand Theft Auto 5 can sell out to 12-year-olds and up, then I'm pretty sure Batman Arkham Knight's going to be okay.
Really, all the sales are going to be affected are, you know, the kid has to go home, get their parent, come back to the store, and then have the parent buy it.
Pretty much.
And the parent will buy it because it's a superhero.
Yeah. So mm-hmm.
It's like, it's for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And then they'll be horrified, and then Fox News will be talking about it.
Yay.
And
Can't wait for the Sean Hannity special on it.
Batman or Evil Man? That's coming up.
Well, that being said, Sean Hannity is one of the few who has defended video games as not creating violent people.
He, and ironically enough, I think it was like, I heard Glenn Beck defending them at one point, which was weird. But
that's weird.
That's neither here nor there.
We'll put Bill O'Reilly on the front lines. You know where he's been.
we're getting into news commentary. Let's back up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're supposed to stay away from that.
We are staying away from politics.
Because we're popular. Because we stay away from it.
It really is one of the reasons people check us out, is we try to stay as political free as possible.
And I make jokes.
Enough humor. Now it's time for the jokes. And also, it won't cost you a penny to try out the next Fable game. Fable Legends is going to be free to play.
Which means it will cost somewhere around the neighborhood of $240 to win.
Now, the developers say that you will not need to spend any money to get any game essential equipment. That being said, you will need to have an Xbox Live Gold account if you play on the Xbox One. So you are going to be spending money. They're just assuming you already have an Xbox Live Gold account. You can also play on PC for free. And Peter Molyneux is not involved in this one, so it might actually be good again. Let's go ahead and bring in...
Polygons! And emotion!
I can't wait to plant an acorn and watch fuck all happen. Anyway, let's bring in...
There's your one.
There's my one. Let's bring in our guest.
Want to welcome into the Deep Cave, Hillary Craven. She is a game designer, founder of Solar Crusaders. It's an upcoming top-down strategy game.
Hello, how are you?
Doing fantastic. So what is Solar Crusaders?
So Solar Crusaders is a sandbox 4X online multiplayer game and has a lot of unique aspects. We are utilizing the same... We're using JavaScript for both the server and the game engine, which makes it very unique because it makes the timeline very fast because it's easier to work with.
Nice. What led to the idea of using JavaScript?
Our game dev, Ollie, who's our co-founder, it's just something that he's very familiar with, and he's had 10 years of experience with development. Also, we noticed that Flickr is utilizing a very similar architecture that we're using for our servers, which they're doing very successfully, and they're supporting millions of people, and it's just a really efficient system. So it's browser-based, and that means that you can use it on everything, PC, Mac. We have no plans to go to console or anything else.
Take me through some of the buzzwords. I heard 4X gameplay. What does that mean?
So 4X is you have explore, exploit, expand, and exterminate. And so those are four aspects of the main gameplay. And we're going to have a video coming up pretty soon, which we touch on each aspect, showing, exterminate, showing like a ship fighting and being attacked, and exploring a galaxy and checking out different planets and what resources they have. So it's just a type of gameplay.
Okay. All right. So what's the inspiration behind Solar Crusaders? What made you guys decide to do what you're doing?
Sure. So basically, I'm a huge board game fan, and I was playing a board game called Battle Stations with a whole bunch of people, including Ollie, who's our co-founder. And I said, oh, wouldn't this be really cool if this would be a computer game? And he had mentioned that, oh, there actually is something called FTL, which he then showed me later. Right. But we continued to talk about, how would this be awesome in terms of having like an online aspect where you can play with a group of friends, and kind of what would you include in terms of, I actually really like storylines and having small missions. And so all of these aspects we tried to include in this Solar Crusaders. We have all these ideas, and so we keep on trying to add things, but I think right now we're really trying to focus on what are the key aspects that's going to make this game really enjoyable. There are some amazing artists who have put up with a lot because I feel like we've been continually kind of trying to figure out what we envision for the game. So we've changed our art, I would say, significantly from the beginning. And so luckily our artists are really patient with us.
Yeah, I saw a recent blog post that you guys are going to kind of 2.5D style.
Kind of a nice combo between the modern and like kind of a board game-esque 2D pixel work.
What kind of experience does your whole team have as a whole coming into this game?
So everyone has lots of experience in different avenues. So for example, we have Erica Parker, who is our kind of marketing aspect, and she'll be doing like a lot of community management and all of that stuff. And then Ollie is our main veteran when it comes to programming, and he's been doing it for over 10 years and is just really awesome at it.
Nice. So if Solar Crusaders goes well, do you guys have any plans for future projects, seeing as how this one is turning out so far?
Oh, yeah. We have so many different ideas. That's why I mentioned earlier that one aspect of trying to nail down our timeline is that we just have all these cool features that we want to include, but we'd like to possibly do, you know, kind of more of the basics and get that going and see how people like that, and then slowly add in really other cool ideas we have. So you can go to www.solarcrusaders.com and you have all the information there. There's a link to sign up for our alpha, and then there's a press page for more information on just kind of the basics of the game, and a media page has all the art, and so everything can be found there.
All right. Well, Hillary, we appreciate you taking some time and joining us in the cave.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And thanks to Hillary Craven. Again, the game is Solar Crusaders. You can find out more at blog.solarcrusaders.com. We're kind of excited because it looks like a really neat idea.
It's a cool idea. It's got a nice aesthetic to it.
Yeah.
And I realize it's kind of silly to sometimes say, oh, I want to play that game because it looks nice. But how else do you justify the order selling?
Speaking of the order, Chad, you called me with some concerns about that, about how it seems this is like the latest in a long trend of games that maybe should have had more done.
Well, I don't know if it's so much should be more done. I think it's more the case of I was interested in getting the order 1886.
It was something as well.
That's like, oh, well, this is a new IP. I like.
Well, yeah, you remember the E3 trailer? You know, they're in the foggy streets of steampunk London. They're fighting werewolves. It looks bloody awesome.
And you get the reviews, and it turns out that looking bloody awesome is pretty much the high point.
Yeah, it was kind of bad.
Well, if I want to watch a movie, I've got things that will play movies. I want to play a game. I want to play a good game. And that seems to be the common critique across the board, is it looks really pretty, but it's gameplay. It's a middling cover-based shooter, so with super long cutscenes that you don't get to just skip because you actually have to walk your character through them.
Oh, for God's sake. I remember Kotaku described it as, hey, do you like movies? Do you like video games? Then you probably shouldn't buy The Order. Because it'll ruin both. And that seems to be, like you said, it seems to be a very common complaint about The Order. That and the length of time, about 5 hours.
5 to 7 hours, depending on how much exploring you want to do.
Now, I'm not on the side of, well, games should be an arbitrary length, but I do think you should get your money's worth.
And, absolutely.
When some people are calling this, if Gears of War was not a good game, then you've got some problems.
Gears of War was not. Wow.
But, you know, I think you brought up a big topic of debate as far as the gaming press, because we have what I would describe as an enthusiast press, where, you know, they're flown out to these lavish locations where they get a controlled environment. Same thing happened with Aliens Colonial Marines. Everyone who played the preview build was like, oh, this is going to be fan-freaking-tastic. And then it comes out, and it is, well, you've seen that clip of the alien just derping around in the dark, walking in circles. That's what Alien Colonial Marines ended up being.
Yeah. I like the part where the main character gets scared by a locked door.
Yeah, because screw that.
There's just this one door. There's nothing in it. It doesn't do anything. It's just a background. And she walks up. It's locked. She walks up to it, and every time she approaches it,
yeah. So, yeah. And we wonder what happened to Sega. But but you brought up an interesting point in that this was another one of those games that everyone is like, oh, this is going to be so good. And then when it came out, hey, you know, when we said it was good, we were lying. It's really shit.
And I don't even think it's not necessarily that case. If I'm given a preview of something, well, and even couching it in movie terms, I see a preview, it tells me whether or not I want to play it. I think what I'm having a problem with in game journalism, including our own, is we'll see the preview and we get excited about it and we don't shut up about it.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be an advertiser for the order. You know, I can be an enthusiast, but as a journalist, I should be saying, okay, so we got to play a bit. Here's what it looked like. Here's how it played. You know, so, and understanding that it's subjective. Subjectively, it was good. Right. What I played was good. But then I shouldn't be spending the next 6 months talking about
how guys know the order's coming up.
It's the approximately the same problem as we've had with pre-orders.
Yeah.
The idea that you build things up so much, you pre-order it and then you get maybe. Yeah. See, that's where I think 2014, the year that gaming sucked. So we had, what was it? Battlefield 4 came out.
Mm-hmm. And it was broken.
It came out in December or January. I mean, it was early.
Yeah.
Fixed in September.
Yeah.
9 months.
Well, there was...
There was a racing game that was supposed to be released.
Oh my God, Drive Club still hasn't come out for PS Plus owners.
And it is not. I'm pretty sure they've just said, you know what, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Why should we should we keep our promises?
And the paid version was so broken that people couldn't even play the game. They could not even log in.
Halo Master Chief Collection, the matchmaking is still broken.
I have the Master Chief Collection, and right now all I'm doing is the single player campaign because I can't play an online game to save my life. Mm-hmm. I log in and then I wait and then I go make a sandwich and then I go, you know, and run some errands and I come back and, oh, it found another player. So.
Mm. and I mean, this is just on. Assassin's Creed Unity, of course. I mean, and I don't know if it's a function of the gaming companies and the way that they run their business. I don't know if it's gaming journalism and the way that we run our business.
Yeah, I like to think that we try to keep things as unbiased as we possibly
can.
Well,
I mean, gaming journalism as a generic...
As a genre, I know.
And I'm not going to call out any one or any particular group because all the news I read, I mean, is good.
Yeah.
You know, people who are dedicated to it and do a good job with it, I think that there's probably an underlying issue or... an overhead issue from people who are writing the checks.
Yeah, it might be a corporate problem.
But Arkham Knight was delayed. It was supposed to release this past Christmas.
Yeah, but it was actually supposed to release this past Halloween, and then it got bumped, and then it got bumped again.
And I'm more okay with that than if they had released it in Halloween, and then here in, when's it supposed to release? In
June.
June. And then it's June before it's fixed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, CD Projekt Red, the same reason they delayed The Witcher 3, is that it was pretty much ready to go, but they pushed it back a few months because they wanted to make sure the bugs were all taken care of. Why can't we have more of that and less of the, oh, we'll fix it afterwards mentality? Yeah. I know it's money.
Because of the money.
And but you got to, eventually, it's got to get to a point where the consumer finally decides, you know what, stop screwing with us.
Well, and what has turned into the case, for me at least, is I don't buy very many games when they release. I buy a lot of my games 3, 4, 5 months after they release sometimes. I mean, I'm actually... I hate to say it, but I'm more inclined to get a small indie game and just download it.
Well, you shouldn't hate to say that. We just had an indie dev on.
No. So. But in terms of, I am finding myself more and more drawn to the smaller, more intimate games because it seems that, one, because their budgets are a little bit lower, they are much more careful about making sure that things work. Two, by the time I'm done playing it, I feel like my money has been well spent.
Right.
I bought Sunset Overdrive, and I like it. It's not a bad game. I honestly don't think it was money well spent at the end of it because it wasn't my style of gameplay, ultimately. That's my fault. You know, that's not their fault. I'm the one that didn't do enough of the research to find out. But then I played... Bugger All. What was the...
love that game.
The little... kind of like the Little Big Planet Racing, but it was another car
racing. Are you talking about the Mod Nation Racers?
That's it.
Yeah.
Mod Nation. I like racing games. Love racing game. That I game liked, is so awful.
I kind of had a love-hate relationship with Mod Nation Racers.
I couldn't stand it.
Mm.
And it was part of their pay-to-play thing.
Well, that explains it.
It just frustrated me. Anyway, and that's just on the gaming side of things. The gamers also helped make 2014 suck.
Yeah, there were some pretty terrible people out there.
When we had, you know, what was it? The threatened school shooting in Wisconsin, was it? Or Ohio? In some school where Anita Sarkeesian was supposed to go and speak, and somebody threatened to shoot up the school.
You can disagree with someone without being a terrorist monster. You do realize that.
And the police said because the specifics of the law, they couldn't stop somebody, they couldn't frisk them, they couldn't put metal detectors up.
Yeah.
And so it got canceled. Well, gee, if I knew that was a way to stop anybody from speaking in public.
Yeah. Well, then you've got the continued problems with Twitch of people swatting folks.
Oh, jeez.
Where they somehow find their information online, and then a SWAT team ends up showing up at a streamer's house because they've received like a bomb threat or a terroristic threat. So those people can eat a helping of
screw you.
Yes. Thank you. I'd already used my one. So
yeah. I'm hoping, and of course 2014 was not all terrible things. There was really great things that came out in 2015.
Dragon Age Inquisition was fantastic.
I've heard I've heard a lot of really good things about it. And I expect that 2015 will have some really great things too. What I hope is that 2015 will not have as many bad things.
Yeah. Well,
it's unlikely because every group has its extremists, and extremists in pretty much any group are unfortunate and bad. But I'll step down off my soapbox now. Thank you for the time.
Oh, hey, no, I'm right there with you with a lot of what you said. Because I think that we as a gaming community need to do better. For so long, gamers were seen as outcasts. And now that it's become more of a worldwide thing where every genre, every type of demographic enjoys video games, I don't know if it's a case of outcast feeling threatened because this was something that was ours alone and now everybody is here, but we really need to stop acting like a bunch of a-holes.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like in general.
That's like one of my top two rules for life.
Yeah.
Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk. Yeah. I've seen that board. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of jerks.
Yeah.
Speaking of jerks, did you know that there was a Golden Mario amiibo that was being sold?
Yeah, I think that was briefly something.
Yes.
I do recall hearing that, yes.
Yeah. No sooner was the announcement made than it sold out.
Awesome.
And
3,000 Walmarts just emptied of stock within minutes.
So your $12.96 Golden Mario amiibo is now selling for about 10 times that.
Awesome.
Because people are horrible.
Consumerism.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's some would blame Nintendo because, well, they need to just make more, but I would blame the scalpers.
I was gonna say, it's, to me, no different than the Majora's Mask 3DS XL.
Oh, don't remind me of that.
That right now is selling for $550 suggested retail on Amazon, or you can get it in the new and used section for $400. Which is about twice the cost of what it actually should be.
And then every once in a while, there's these assholes that buy it just to, like, put it in a microwave.
And it turns out I'm really okay with those people, because that meant that they spent $200 to $400 so that they could basically flush it.
Yeah.
It's like,
I get that, but, like, I'm thinking of the kid that really wants the Majora's Mask 3DS.
I understand that, and it's unfortunate for the kid. But they'll still be able to play the game Majora's Mask on any other 3DS XL.
True.
But those people with the microwaves aren't getting that money back.
Well, right. A fool and his money are soon parted. So.
Well, and this is the way I put it to my spouse. I said, we buy things with money. How do we get money? We work. Which means that we're trading in time of our lives. You know, time we don't get back. Time that we're effectively trading away. So somebody is trading their life. Bits and pieces of their life in order to make somebody else feel bad or feel angry. That's a sad existence.
It pretty is, yeah. I think that's a good place to stop, too. That's a good unless you have anything else.
No, I'm good.
All right. Well, we'll take a quick break when we come back. It's the movie segment. We'll be talking about a few upcoming things in television as well, because why not? Deep Cave Podcast, back in a moment.
Hey, it's Darren from the Deep Cave Podcast for Shirtosaurus.com. You know why we love Shirtosaurus? Because they do so much for their fans. Right now at Shirtosaurus.com, there are giveaways, free shipping offers, and some of the hottest and most creative designs in geek culture. Available on t-shirts, sweatshirts, blankets, and more. Do yourself a favor and hit up Shirtosaurus.com right now and get shopping.
The Geek Cave Podcast, brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com. We dig up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. To find out the latest from The Geek Cave, visit GeekCavePodcast.com or Facebook.com/GeekCave.
And welcome back to The Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin, and they took away my guitar.
I'm Chad.
You know, before we get into the movie segment, Justin, if you're looking for something to do with yourself in between segments, and we won't let you have your guitar back, even though this is your house. It's weird, I know. Maybe you could look into getting like a free audiobook or something.
Hmm. I hadn't thought about that. How would I go about doing that?
Well, it's real simple.
I like simple stuff.
You know our website.
Yes.
DKPodcast.com. Yeah, jinx. You owe me a Coke. All you have to do...
Pepsi only, sorry, dude.
You know, I hate it when they're like, is Pepsi okay? Did I ask for Pepsi?
I'm not asking you if it's okay. I'm telling you. That's all I got.
I will take a Pepsi. Anyway, DKPodcast.com. If you look on the right-hand side, you might have to disable your ad block for this. We have a little ad for Audible. Just click on that. Boom. Or you can go to audible.com/DeepCavePodcast. Sign up for a free trial, 30 days, and you get to download a free audiobook, which you get to keep, even if you don't want to keep the service. So go on and just log in and do that. You can do that while... You know, while we're talking about games or whatever. Yeah, there you go. Just...
Ooh.
That was easy. And, you know, I really liked a lot of the Doctor Who audiobooks, but there's so many there. Stephen Colbert's I Am America and So Are You is quite possibly one of my favorites as well. You should check it out. Audible.com/DK Podcast. Easy peasy. Chad, movies.
That sounds pretty easy. So, apparently Harrison Ford signed on to be in Blade Runner 2, because what is this time in movies in Hollywood if it isn't to trample on the successes of yesteryear for a few million dollars? Really a paltry sum. There's no story yet, there's no treatment, it's still mostly rumor, with Harrison Ford basically saying, this is the best thing I've read! So, we now know that Harrison Ford doesn't actually read.
He needs to sign up for an Audible account.
He certainly does.
I think at this point, Calista Flockhart just reads to him.
So, the Lego Movie sequel, called The Lego Movie Sequel.
I love that.
Has a director, a guy named Rob Schraub. I'm not kidding. Who's done a lot of work on television shows. Community, Parks and Rec, Sarah Silverman Project. But this is his first feature-length project, so... good luck to him.
Yeah.
May everything be awesome. Because when you get down to it, I mean, going from TV to movies, there's got to be
a change.
From live action to animated.
Yeah.
Certainly has got to have a very large learning curve.
I'm predicting, because this is his first feature film, he's going to get snubbed at the Oscars.
I don't think it's going to take that to snub him at the Oscars. I think the fact that it's a comedy is certainly not going to help.
Animated
won't certainly help. Not going to help. Licensed, you know, title
not going to help.
Certainly not going to help. Popular.
Likely to be popular. Certainly
not
help
going
either.
To help. By the way, bad news, guys. I was wrong. I know it hurts. I thought visual effects would go to the Apes movie. It did not. It went to Interstellar, which means
of course.
Once more, there wasn't a superhero movie that got recognized, really.
We have to change the sign now. It's now been 0 days since Chad was wronged.
Truth.
That's a lot of erasing I'm going to have to do.
And oddly, the Oscars spent a little bit of extra time just making fun of superhero movies.
Yeah, I noticed that. Jack Black, WTF, man.
I say, if there was anybody who I would see in a superhero movie at some point, I figured it'd be Jack Black. And no, I did enjoy James Gunn's response.
Yes, it was good.
Very classy. He basically said, if you don't like them, that's fine. You cannot like any movie, but don't you dare say that we're not invested in them and that we don't love them.
Yeah.
Because that's just not true.
Yeah, they basically referred to them as quick cash-ins. And,
mm-hmm.
and again, kind of what Hollywood always does. Hey, look, nerds! You know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
D-badge.
And
that's my response.
The Oscars this year had lower ratings. Turns out Neil Patrick Harris is not magic for everything.
He can't save it all, you know?
No. And
which is a shame.
And there were a few missteps in there script-wise that...
I was watching wrestling.
It got a little bit hinky a couple of times there. Just some things that fell flat that they just kept going. They did the McFarlane school of humor.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to make you uncomfortable, and then we're going to just keep doing it till eventually you laugh.
Out of a nervous response more than anything. Yeah.
So it's... I think it's more telling that there is now an entire genre of movies that we would call Oscar movies.
Yeah.
Or Oscar, because it's saying that the Oscars has become so irrelevant that now people make movies specifically for it.
Yeah.
That being said, I got to see an advertisement or plea or what, because deciding on who to vote for what, you have the production companies basically advertise to the people who vote in the Academy. And I saw one for Transformers 4 for Best Picture. It's like, for your consideration for 32 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Transformers 4.
Yes.
And I mean, it's funny to me on a lot of levels. I understand that they throw everything at the wall to
see
what sticks.
What the hell? Why not?
But that means that somewhere, some intern had to, in all seriousness, create some kind of signage and marketing that very seriously said, hey, when you're thinking about voting for Best Picture, think Transformers 4.
Yeah.
Because, of course.
Well, you know, I mean, if The Dark Knight can't get nominated for Best Picture, and if Avengers can't get nominated for Best Picture, you know, I'm not sure I care about Best Picture at this point.
That being said, I do want to see Birdman.
I do, too. I kind of want to see it.
I'm a little on the fence, simply because the...
It's not Harvey Birdman.
No, I know it's not Harvey Birdman. The
Birdman!
Attorney at law. The trailer I saw, it just seemed a bit disjointed. And it was a bit jarring for me. I'm not saying I won't see it. I just might wait till it comes out on Netflix.
It's got to be better than Tree of Life.
Hmm.
I think most things are going to be better than Tree of Life.
If I ever meet the guy who made Tree of Life, I'm going to tell him how bad it was.
Well, the Oscars will continue to be irrelevant and important because that's the show that tells Hollywood what to throw money at next year. Which means,
while ignoring what the public actually wants to throw money at.
Cracked actually had a pretty good idea on that. I say actually as though it's a surprise. Cracked has lots of good ideas.
They're usually one of the better sources for good ideas.
Is that the Oscars ought to be on a 5-year delay.
Yes.
You know, 5-year delay, then you see what actually stuck, what became...
I like it.
Nice.
It will never happen because it means either you have to go 5 years without an award show... Well, without the Oscars anyway, or you delay it just a little bit more each year until eventually you have your 5-year. But it was an article on Cracked called like 11 times or 13 times the Oscars got it wrong.
Only 13. They probably ran out of room.
Well, I think what they were doing is they were just taking recent examples.
I see.
you know, and making kind of pointing them out. I was reading an article just this past week about one of the members of the Academy that does the voting, who was bragging that he had not seen any of the pictures that he was voting on. You know,
this is a perfect example.
I voted for Selma. Well, why did you see it? No, but I think it's an important film.
How do you
and
know?
One that needs to be seen, but you didn't see it. No. Who has time to see all these movies? I don't know. Your customers?
Yeah.
You're far too important to see the movies that you're paying to have made.
Well, as if we needed confirmation.
Right.
That they were a bunch of pretentious blowhards.
Oh, of course.
So
there is that. Speaking of things that kind of make me sad, Arnold has already confirmed his involvement in Terminator 6.
He's got nothing else
because
going on.
Of course he has.
Yeah.
What else is he doing?
Terminator Genesis, which apparently is going to make the T-800 look like a Ken doll.
Nice.
You will still have from the back, but any full frontal that they show is going to be sans genitalia, which, okay. That was, to me, one of the funnier parts of Terminator 2 is that he has, a robot with actual genitalia. Walks into the biker bar and the wager's like, ooh, really?
Why not?
So Lord of the Rings theme park, because why not? It's being developed in Spain. So Darren, save your pennies.
Yeah. Pesos.
Yes. No. That's Mexico. Spain.
Oh, okay.
Spain. Euro.
Save my euros.
Doubloons.
Doubloons.
It's going to be modeled on the Shire. Because nothing says fun and excitement like the Shire, what with all the adventuring that everyone seems to be going off on from that location. And actually, reading the treatment, it's going to be about 20 acres, so it's very small area. They're only spending about the equivalent of $2 million to build it. It seems like it's going to be more a park than a theme,
It's like a park with a theme.
It's a park with a theme rather than an amusement park with a theme.
I see.
But I guess they're going to build some of the houses and the hobbit holes, etc.
I can dig it. My wife wants a hobbit hole for a house because it's tornado proof. You're literally in the ground.
Yeah.
You can't get much safer.
Yeah.
You do have to make sure that you've got good supports, though.
Yeah, and the windows will need to be covered. But other than that,
I want to know, does this park serve breakfast, second breakfast, 11Zs, lunch, afternoon tea?
I have no idea.
The Lembas bread just turns out to be Hawaiian rolls.
So
I'm still okay with
that. Yeah, I'm okay with it, yeah.
So apparently there was a comic called Powers.
Yeah, Bendis, Brian Michael Bendis.
And now it's going to be a TV show, sort of.
PlayStation Network
is interesting. It's coming on March 10th, I believe. Yep, March 10th. And the general idea of the story is that there are people with superpowers, and they're not necessarily heroes or villains. They're just people.
So some general douchebags.
Yep. And the story follows a guy who used to have superpowers. And now he doesn't, and so now he's a cop in the Supers Division, a division of the police department that specifically focuses on crimes committed by powers.
Think about Metropolis as SCU.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of depressing.
Yeah. The comic is pretty depressing.
And the trailer is depressing, and I hope that it isn't, but it really just kind of looks, ugh.
You should read the comic, 'cause it's a good story, but it is a bit of a downer.
I mean, I'll probably watch the first episode since that one's going to be available for free. But
and then you'll need PS Plus for the rest.
Homie, don't pay for live TV.
I understand that.
If it ain't over the air.
Homie, don't pay for live TV.
I
wonder
don't.
What Damon Wayans is up to.
The Fantastic Four movie, which we're so excited for, and just counting down the minutes until it shows up, they're having a bit of a problem. Turns out that Mr. Fantastic, his particular gift or power, whatever, looks really effing silly when you try to put that on screen. And so they're having to go through and try to figure out how to special effect this guy with stretchy abilities so that he doesn't look like, you know...
They did an okay job with, like, the last attempt. The chick from
Incredibles.
Elastigirl?
Yeah.
They did an okay job with the last movie franchise before 20th Century.
But it also had a far different theme, far different aesthetic.
I know, I'm just thinking about, like, the effect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just... This is me speaking out of ignorance, but why not just apply whatever setting they used?
Well, and I think that they could probably do that, but it probably looks a little unnatural now. I mean, you've already doing...
It's already unnatural.
But that's the thing. If you're already doing something that's very unnatural, then you've got to make it believable. And I would say that the older version, it never did quite hit believable.
Yeah.
So...
There were a few problems with the older version. But yeah.
Well, of course. Yeah. There's been problems with every single superhero film we've seen so far.
True.
You know, we can always find something. For example, Ant-Man's not going to be involved with the creation of Ultron.
I'm okay with this.
Most people probably are. Some aren't. But Joss Whedon basically spoke up. He said, we've already got science-y people. We've got Tony Stark, who is science-y and reckless. We've got Bruce Banner, which a lot of people don't really see as reckless, but he tested gamma radiation on himself to pretty mind-bogglingly awful results. So that's why he's taking Ant-Man kind of out of the equation for it.
And also he mentioned that, like, he'd seen the treatment they had written for Ant-Man, and there was no way he was going to be able to make it work with Avengers 2. So... Yeah, don't sabotage someone else's project. Go do your own thing.
Right. So that's the long and the short of what I got. Justin, I know you got some news stuffs.
Yeah, I got a few blurbs to blurb about.
Blurb.
Blurb, blurb.
Blurb, 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 blurb.
And we're done.
Yeah. So earlier you were talking about Powers and being on the PlayStation Network. Well, that seems to be a new trend. You've got Daredevil on Netflix and also AKA Jessica Jones, which is also coming. It's another Marvel show. Well, David Tennant has been recently attached to AKA Jessica Jones as the big bad of the series.
The Purple Man.
The Purple Man. So, yeah.
Pop quiz. Do you know what the Purple Man does?
He wibbly punches wobbly, people with his skull stuff? Ring.
No, that's the Phantom.
Yeah. Same difference.
The Purple Man is a dude in a suit with purple skin and purple hair, and he basically can influence anyone within a general radius of him to do whatever he wants.
Hmm.
Not quite telepathy. More like suggestion. Push.
Hmm.
Interesting.
So when the doctor tells you to run,
you run.
You really don't have an option.
Okay.
So, yeah, look for David Tennant. And I like David Tennant. I've not seen
He's a fantastic actor. Yeah,
I have not seen anything he's been in that I didn't like.
Well, did you see he recently got, like, a special recognition from the British Television Awards? It was late in December. I found the video on YouTube. It was just fantastic. I mean, he deserves all the acclaim because he really is a great actor. So... I'm looking forward to David Tennant being a part of the MCU. I told my wife, hey, David Tennant's now part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and she replies with excitement until she finds out he's a villain, because she doesn't want to dislike him. So,
I like him in Broadchurch.
Well, not dislike him as in, like, in Broadchurch, he's kind of...
He's not a villain.
No, he's just kind of like an antagonistic person. He's not like the series villain. You're not supposed to like the villain, although a lot of properties have been getting pretty good at making us like the villain lately.
I gotta say, Tom Hiddleston's probably more popular than
Tom Hiddleston is also the only developed villain in a Marvel franchise when you consider live action.
This is true.
He's also been in 3 movies now.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've had time to develop him. They have, I mean, Red Skull was one and done. Everyone else has kind of been one and done. The only villain that compares Marvel-wise, live action, is Magneto.
True.
So.
This is true.
Surprise villain in Civil War.
That would be awesome.
Ian McKellen just shows up.
As Gandalf.
As Gandalf.
Marvel announces in a press release the day after, surprise! We bought Tolkien.
Okay.
Anyways, what's going on?
Yeah.
So, DC Entertainment has announced that they're going to be doing more animated movies and shorts and stuff like this.
Okay, with that. Their animated stuff's good.
Yeah. One I'm very leery about is Batman Unlimited, Animal Instincts.
You know, for months, we would see those little action figures.
Yeah.
And I would theorize they're up to something.
Yeah, and
I have
boom.
Been vindicated.
Yes. Yes, there was the, for months, maybe almost a year plus.
There were these weird little action figures that had no real explanation for why they had the aesthetic. They looked like they were tied to an animated thing that didn't exist.
Exactly. And, there was Batman, Superman. They all had the same look. Batman had a weird logo. It was almost like they were trying to launch a toy line.
But they weren't really sure how. Yeah.
Well, there's a new animated feature coming out, Batman Unlimited. Animal Instincts. It's going straight to DVD.
Dick Grayson's hair looks like something from There's Something About Mary.
Yeah. And the character designs are that of this toy line. So
bad.
Yeah. So I guess they tested it out. The toys sold enough. And they thought, okay, now we can proceed with phase one.
We should proceed with the beginning.
Yes.
We're in beta. Now let's go back to alpha.
Yeah. So, I personally have no desire to watch this simply because I don't like the look of it.
There are certain times where the art style can really kill something.
You don't like the goatee looking thing?
No, not really. It's all just a little too weird.
Stylistic.
Yeah. And if this is how they've approached their marketing, I don't even want to know how they approach the writing.
Yeah, it's probably the less said, the better.
Yeah.
But, Throne of Atlantis was good.
Well, yeah. Well, that's different. That's
based off an existing story.
This is, we knew that they were going to continue making DC animated movies. They're all part of a larger continuity. This almost harkens back to that one movie they released exclusively at Target that they told you about the day before they released it.
Oh, it's not exclusive to Target anymore.
Oh, it's not?
You can get it at Walmart now, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
But it's like, why tell us about this thing the day before you release it? Is it that crappy?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when game review copies are withheld until day of launch.
Yeah, that's...
Ubisoft.
Yeah. In addition, there's also a DC Super Friends animated series coming up geared to toddlers, basically, 2 to 3 year olds.
Okay.
And that's awesome. And my computer just died, so...
Well, as a parent of a toddler, you are probably pretty stoked about it.
Yes, I am, because my son loves Batman, and we've been... We let him watch certain episodes of Batman the Brave and the Bold. We are very careful about which ones he watches because it is very... There's an aspect of violence to it, as with any cartoon rated for 7 and up.
Anything superhero related, usually.
Yeah, but the problem is he absorbs what he sees, goes to school, pretends he's Batman, and punches a kid. And then I get a phone call. I don't like that. So we're very...
Justin hates phones.
I do. I really do.
On the plus side, though, I remember you telling us a story where, like, he did it to protect someone else. And,
yeah,
at the very least, his vigilantism is pointed in the right direction.
Yes, my son has a very strict code of right and wrong. And if he thinks...
The juice box is not yours?
Yeah, if he thinks anybody is in trouble, he's the first to step up and,
that's...
Slap a bitch.
Yeah. Okay, stepping up, good. Slap a bitch, not so good.
Yeah. So hopefully if this new property is geared towards very young children, it will curb any the violence down to a minimum.
Oh, good.
It's going to ramp it up.
It's going to be ultra violent.
It's just ultra violent, super fire everywhere.
My God, I'm just picturing, you remember that scene from Injustice where Superman melts Shazam's face?
Yeah.
I'm picturing that with this toy line. And I am horrified. I am legitimately horrified.
I just bought that. Injustice.
For PS4 or?
PS3.
Yeah. It should.
It was, $20. I'm like, yeah, it's worth $20.
Well, you played and beat it on the Wii U.
Yeah.
So you knew what you're getting into. But
now I've played and beat it on the
PS3.
We
digress. I'm just thinking of the ultra-violence thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, look for those coming out. Hopefully,
you know, the Super Friends one is decent, because if it is, I'll probably end up watching it over and over and over and over again.
You're the one that introduced them to your son, knowing that they had violence in them.
No, I know, but I mean, he's very one-tracked mind. He likes to watch the same thing over and over and over again.
As is most young children.
As is most young children, so.
Well, since your computer's dead, is that all you got? Or
Yeah, pretty much. I can't look at the rest of my notes.
All right,
and the power supply's upstairs, and I'm too lazy.
It's probably for the best, since we tend to run long with the final segment of the show. I just had a couple things. One, we posted it last week, the first official look at Jason Momoa as Aquaman.
Oh, yeah.
And it was immediately apparent who had not been paying attention to Aquaman in recent memory, because people were all like, what the hell? Is Aquaman like a goth heavy metal frontman now? Or that's not Aquaman. And then they would post a photo of like dude from Super Friends, you know, the 70s show. I hate that show so much for what it did to Aquaman. Set him back decades. But that looks pretty cool. They're working on a team up series based in the Arrow and Flash television universe. So starring Brandon Routh as Ray Palmer / the Atom, who, at least in the TV series, does not resemble the Atom, but more Iron Man. But that is another topic for another day.
And Hal Stewart, amalgamation Green Lantern, you know, a black man whose dad died in a fiery crash.
Anyway, it'll have Brandon Routh, Katie Lotz, who, if I'm not going to give you Arrow season 3 spoilers, but if you've been watching Arrow, you're really surprised that she's going to be in the show. And a couple other characters, Victor Garber and Wentworth Miller, are going to be in the show. It's kind of like a team-up series. They say it's also going to include 3 major DC superheroes who have never been in live action. So start placing your bets now.
Plastic Man?
Martian Manhunter?
Martian Manhunter. No.
Manhunter.
Just Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter sounds stupid.
No, there's already a character named Manhunter. So
Tough, yeah. No, they've used Manhunter in... Of the Martian variety in a live action.
Manhunter of the Martian. Okay. It's going to be hard. So start thinking about it now, and maybe by the time the series starts production. And they've cast a whole bunch of people for Supergirl, including Dean Cain. And I forget the name of the woman who played Supergirl in the 80s movie.
Oh. I'm surprised. It's your favorite movie.
Anyway, them plus David Harewood, who will be playing Hank Henshaw. Shyler Lee, who will be playing Alex Danvers. They've cast Supergirl's mom, Allura Benanti, as Allura Zor-El. I'm not really sure how that's going to work. Maybe like Jor-El did in the Superman movies and the Smallville TV show as well. And Supergirl starts shooting this month, because this is March.
So, Helen Slater.
Helen Slater, thank you. I knew it was Helen, but the only thing that came to mind were Keller and Mirren, both of which were inaccurate. So I didn't want to say. You're right over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just really Helen Keller.
I'm sorry. Like, those are the first two names that came to mind. I knew it started with Helen, but I couldn't think of the last name. So thank you for looking that up. That's all I got.
That's all you got? Yeah. No, Netflix wants our nostalgia dollars. They've got a whole bunch of new cartoons. Check it out on the Cave.
Inspector Gadget,
Danger Mouse.
Yeah, we already talked about DuckTales.
So on and so forth. So,
woo!
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Anytime.
So are we ready for...
I think we are.
Kent, if you don't mind.
And now, it's time for Chad Savage's Random Movie Review.
I like the intro music there, the da 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 da. But a part of me kind of wished we had some, you know, some French music, you know, some soft. We're talking about the Aristocats today.
Yeah.
And
cats. Never mind.
Aristocats. Yeah. Far different movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, my disclaimer, these are movies that I haven't seen before, and so if they're your favorite and you're deeply offended, I don't really have an apology, because I'm not sorry that you're offended.
You were warned 2 months ago, so...
You know, I'm just letting you know that, you know, if this is, like, the top movie in your Disney pantheon, You might want to just leave.
You've got to deal with it.
Anyway, so the Aristocats, which it's one of those movies that begins with a whole bunch of the credits,
mm-hmm.
and you get Maurice Chevalier singing the opening. It's glorious. The movie is about a mother cat named Duchess and her three kittens, Marie, Berlioz, and Toulouse. Opera. I miss opera. Nobody around me wants to go to the opera. It's very frustrating. I like the opera. Anyway, they all live in the mansion of a retired opera singer named Madame Adelaide Bonfamilie, which, oddly enough, means good family, along with her English butler, Edgar.
Something seems amiss.
Yes.
One of these like things Edgar. Is not like the other.
So, Madame Adelaide contacts her lawyer, Georges Haucourt, who is coming out, and she's basically building her will. And she's saying that she wants her cats to inherit the fortune first. Once the cats die, then Edgar gets it. Edgar hears this because old French mansion, they have the hose pipe, oh, call your servants.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ironing his pants in a very odd scene. And he decides that, you know, if cats each, the cats will live for 12 years and they have 9 lives and there's 4 cats. And so he's trying to multiply all this together. It's like 12 times 9 times 4. Well, I'll be dead long before they are. Because that's how cat lives work, right?
Uh-huh. Totally. Yep.
And apparently not, clearly not thinking that he's going to be in control of the fortune. All he's got to do is make sure the cats don't die. He decides that he's got to get rid of these cats. So he sedates the cats. I'm going to maintain that he kills them and that we're watching fevered hallucinations of the cats for the rest. He dumps an entire bottle of sleeping pills into what's basically a milk custard. It's a whole,
Lord.
Bunch of cream and sugar and sleeping pills.
Yeah, they're dead.
Enough to kill a human. And the cats drink it and they fall asleep and he puts them in a bag and he takes them out to the countryside to dispose of them, where a couple of hound dogs attack him. The hound dogs, by the way, Napoleon and Lafayette, are two of the most amazing characters in this particular piece. It's the Napoleon is the guy who voiced the Sheriff of Nottingham from Disney's Robin Hood. And it's glorious. You know, this old dog who's just convinced he's in charge. And and make sure that Lafayette knows it. And I laughed every time they were on. I laughed. So they chase Edgar back. The cats wake up. They meet an alley cat named Thomas O'Malley, who actually has a much longer name, but I don't remember what it was. Voiced by the incomparable Phil Harris.
Yeah.
Phil Harris is one of those voices that we are so lucky to have Kent.
Yes, we are.
Because Kent and Phil Harris, right there to me.
Well, they both have the last name of Harris.
They
maybe
do.
Maybe it's a Harris thing.
Oh, maybe. But just, I love the man's voice. He was the voice of Baloo in The Jungle Book and Little John, for those who didn't know. So, and Thomas O'Malley is going to help the Duchess and her three kittens get back to Paris. Along the way, we have Marie falls into a river,
mm-hmm.
because of course she does, and Thomas O'Malley jumps in and saves her, and then he is eventually saved by a couple of geese from England.
Yeah.
But not before they try to teach him how to swim. And then wait until he's nearly drowned before saving him. And
how else will he learn?
Amelia and Abigail gabble they're going to Paris so they can meet their Uncle Waldo, who is a drunk, who also shows up in Mickey's Christmas Carol in a cameo, by the way.
Nice.
Yep. It is one of those things where I'm watching, I'm like, huh, this was back when being an obvious drunk was charming and funny and cute. And it is funny, but you're only offensive. Because I kind of understand a bit of the history. Along the way, O'Malley and Duchess seem to be falling in love. The kittens love O'Malley. And they sing a lot of jazz songs. Well, a couple of jazz songs.
Jazz happens.
Jazz happens. I like jazz. Jazz is great stuff.
There are worse things.
And O'Malley effectively proposes to Duchess, and she says that she can't go with him because she's loyal to her human.
And I wasn't sure that was a qualifier.
Well, Thomas, you know, O'Malley, he's an alley cat.
Yeah.
You know, so no refinement. So never mind that sweet, sweet voice. You know. So they get back to the house. Edgar finds them, decides to ship them off to Timbuktu. Excitement happens. Edgar gets shipped to Timbuktu. O'Malley becomes part of the family. And we end on Scat Cat, voiced by Scatman Carruthers. performing a reprise of the song Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. I want to know how come you guys didn't introduce me to this earlier. I'm a little upset. This movie was fantastic.
Well, really, since you own it and have owned it for a while, we'd assumed you'd already seen it.
Yeah,
I've actually got a lot of movies on my shelf that I haven't scene.
Well, you make up a list of movies that you own.
And we will continue to not tell you about them.
Yes.
Thanks, man.
I don't know. For me, I was never really impressed with the Aristocats.
Really?
Yeah. It just wasn't my thing.
Like it. It's not one of my favorites. It's not one I will sit down and watch just because, but it's not bad. I do enjoy it when I watch it.
Well, it's one of those things where as I'm listening, there are the obvious voices that I really appreciate. It's like, yeah. I know that. You know, Thurl Ravenscroft, who sang You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, he's in it as a Russian cat, as part of Scat Cat's troupe. Paul Winchell is in it as an absolutely terribly racist version of a Siamese cat. But, I mean, Paul Winchell, you guys would know him from, he's the voice of Tigger.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and Gargamel. You know, and
it's basically
Dick Dastardly.
It's basically an 80s animated TV series all-star movie.
It is, and it's fantastic.
From the 1970s.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies and one of those shows where watching it for an hour and 18 minutes, which is a very short movie comparatively. You don't have to worry about princesses wanting more. You don't have to worry about some kind of hackneyed love story. It's very subtle. It's very basic. You know, starts with kind of just a mutual, maybe attraction's even the wrong word, but just a mutual appreciation.
Right.
And at the time it's done, you're glad that you saw it. Except Darren, who's not glad he saw it. I'm glad that I saw it, and I think you should be too. So I'm going to put this under my, you know, see this movie, be like me. You know, is it among the tops of that Disney had to offer? Not really, because, you know, the 1960s and 70s were kind of a weird time for Disney. Their art style changed, their music style changed.
Yep.
The way that they approached storytelling changed, and so it wasn't necessarily their top of the line stuff, but it certainly wasn't bad.
No.
So that's my final line. Be like me, see this movie.
All right. Well, before we wrap up, you may have known him as Sentinel Prime, Master Xehanort, or other voices, Galvatron from Transformers, but of course everyone knew him as Mr. Spock, and our hearts and minds and thoughts are with the family of Leonard Nimoy, who passed away shortly before the recording of this episode. He was 83. And chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which is something he'd been dealing with for a while. So the Deet world lost a fantastic voice and a fantastic ambassador. We were certainly fans of Mr. Nimoy, and we know a lot of you listening are. So, obviously, everyone's quoting Star Trek II, that Nimoy was and will forever be our friend. Well, appreciate you listening in, and be sure to check out our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, BuzzTime, and Audible. We'll see you in a couple weeks, and remember, everyone's a geek for something.